Now, electric cars are shaping up as a viable means to dramatically decrease countries' carbon emissions and tackle global warming. Indeed, these cars have been rolled out with increasing regularity across parts of Europe and the United States, with positive effects on the environment becoming clearer. However, Australia's policy in this area still falls a bit short of those countries where their policies are greater developed, and we still need some significant adjustment for electric cars to be a realistic option for the everyday consumer. Dr. Anna Mortimer is joining us on the line now to talk about the advantages of electric cars, some of the potential policy shifts that might make them affordable. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
Now, electric cars are, of course, an environmentally friendly alternative to petrol-fueled models. How much more so?
I think probably the example that is a good example is just even if you looked at, say, the Mitsubishi Outlander, the SUV, which are, SUVs are very popular in this country. The Mitsubishi Outlander, the petrol-fueled one, emits 211 grams of CO2 per kilometre, whereas the electric hybrid version is 41 grams, so significantly less. And if it's a full battery SUV, well, it's zero emissions. So, and SUVs are one of the highest emitting vehicles. So that's the reason why there's a big push to electric vehicles, because you can't beat zero emissions.
Now, Australia aims to have over 1 million electric cars on the road by 2030. On current projections, how far away from this goal are we?
Unlikely. we've only got 4,000 on the road at the moment, and with pretty much no incentives for consumers to buy electric vehicles. I can't, unless there's something in the pipeline in providing incentives. I mean, the biggest barrier is price. So unless you can make the price of an electric vehicle about the same as a combustion fuel vehicle, if that doesn't happen, you won't have consumers buying electric vehicles. They're not going to pay an extra for a low emission vehicle when an identical petrol fuel, combustion fuel vehicle is available. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Well, many of the cars that are on the road have also been purchased secondhand, and it is one of those technologies that hasn't quite reached the point where you can go out and buy a used electric car quite yet.
Yeah. The thing is that you need to ensure that, you've got to make sure that these cars are going to enter the secondhand car market. Usually cars will remain on the road from 10 to 20 years. So we're not this is not a transition that's going to happen overnight. It's a long term, but the long term, the planning needs to start with the new cars that are being sold in the market today. If you look at business, any businesses, about 40% of all new cars are bought by business. Now, business generally will turn over those cars around 3 to 4 years. Now, 3 to 4 years, those cars will then be rolled into the second-hand car market. And that's what we need to address, is to make sure that the new cars that are being bought today are the most fuel-efficient, low-emitting vehicles, so that those cars will then eventually filter through to the second-hand car market and will become available to consumers who cannot afford to buy a brand new car, and the price will be will be less. But at the moment, that's not happening.
What could be done to sort of push electric cars in that direction to push businesses to want to buy electric cars?
Norway seems to be the country that's been quoted a lot in the media recently. So if we just look at Norway, then they've got lots of measures that are available, and you've got to provide the incentives. You've got to provide the incentives to business and to consumers They've got things such as, well, if they've got a high GST, or they call it a value-added tax, and it's 25%. Now, that's high, so that's exempt for zero-emission vehicles. So that's a big incentive. They also have very high vehicle taxes on combustion fuel vehicles. So that's exempt for battery, full electric vehicles. So that's the reason. That's how they make the price difference. That's how they reduce the price difference for electric vehicles by bringing in those exemptions. And then they also provide other non-financial incentives and things like, for example, free parking, free access to business lanes. They also exemptions for any roll toll, so or anything, any of the other car charges that we are imposed, they're all exempt for electric vehicles. So there are those non-financial benefits as well as financial benefits. So if you look at Norway, the price of their electric vehicles is the same as the combustion fuel vehicles. And that's the dilemma for the government here, because that means you have to increase the prices of your combustion fuel vehicle in order to bring parity between the two vehicles. And you also have to bring in some sort of incentives. Now, they don't give out subsidies, like I think we've been discussed here, to bring out a $7,000 subsidy if you buy an electric vehicle. But their subsidies are through exemption of certain taxes.
Well, there was, I don't know if you know, down here in South Australia, but the exiting government during the recent state election, they had a policy which was to, you know, remove stamp duty. And I think they were going to make registration free for the first X amount of years if on the purchase of every new electric car. Now, clearly that wasn't the type of thing, because they didn't get in again. It just wasn't the sort of thing that voters were particularly interested in and didn't quite sway South Australians enough. So what do you think is needed from, you know, a cultural level in order to bring these policies forward from our policymakers?
Well, the thing is that... If these policies are not implemented, you won't have the uptake in electric vehicles. That's just, you know, if you look overseas, and I think anyone who quotes any, for example, Norway, over 50% of their new cars purchased in 2017 were electric vehicles. But it's great to quote those numbers, but you have to look behind, how did they get there? And in any of the countries that you look at where they're trying to build up their electric vehicles, they are offering those sorts of incentives like you were just mentioning before. They have to be introduced by whichever government. Otherwise, no incentives, there will be no uptake of electric vehicles. That's just the way it is. So I think it's just going to be a matter of time when I think fairly shortly in the next few weeks we'll get the next update on how many electric vehicles were purchased in Australia, and I'm probably expecting another low figure, and that will give you an indication as to whether we're going to reach the estimated 230,000 electric vehicles by 2025. You know, let's not even think about a million by 2030. Let's think something a little bit closer, 2025, 230,000 electric vehicles, when we've only got about 4,000 on the roads right now.
We're speaking with Dr. Anna Mortimer about electric cars. Now, do we have any understanding of the people who are currently driving electric cars, those 4,000 people? Do we have a picture of their lifestyle, of what they're like?
No, that's interesting. No, I'm not aware of any surveys in Australia. I am aware there's similar some surveys have been done overseas countries where people are trying to work out exactly that and looking at, you know, where they recharge their vehicle. For example, I looked at Sweden. And they're looking at, you know, that most people will charge their electric vehicle in the evenings after work. Now, I know there's the, you know, the debate about, well, we're not really reducing emissions because, you know, we're plugging it into our, you know, our power at home, and that's, you know, pretty much has emissions there. But I think we've got to look at down the track that as renewable energy comes on board more and more, then the whole shift will be plugging in the car, which is, you know, and then also too, a lot of people are worried about, you know, the charge, how much charge, and also, you know, how many, what distance they can travel. And most of the electric vehicles, people are buying as a second-hand car, so which is interesting. So the, and we do have quite a few cars per family. So you do have your combustion fuel, long-distance vehicle, but a lot of the electric vehicles, because they're still short distance. So we've still got a long way to go with the technology. But driving around the city, that seems to be the popular vehicle, is the electric vehicle. And also because there's like free parking in the cities and driving in bus lanes, and that's also incentives as well. So it just depends on incentives whether people are going to pick up that second car. But we've only got, I think in Queensland there's only 700, roughly about 700 electric vehicles on the road in Queensland. So it'll be interesting as to why these people did buy these cars and the driving range.
Right, Anna. Well, we will keep an eye out on those numbers when they get released, and we'll keep following the introduction of more electric cars into Australia. Thanks for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you. Bye.
That was Dr. Anna Mortimer speaking with us about government policy relating to incentivise the purchase of electric cars.